Hey, good evening to everybody. The topic of tonight's shiur is the bracha of shahakol. The Shulchan Aruch discusses the halachas for bircha shahakol in Shulchan Aruch Arachaim Simin Reish Dalid. And there are two very, very important klalim, two very basic facts and guidelines that will allow us to understand the bracha of shahakol. And then we will get into specifics of which brachos fall under the category of shahakol. The opening thing that the Shulchan Aruch says about shahakol is that it is the bracha which is made on all foods which do not grow from the earth, all foods that do not grow on a tree, all foods that do not grow from the earth will receive the bracha of shahakol. Therefore, meat, fish, eggs, milk, water, any liquids, ice cream, cheese, will all receive the bracha of shahakol. That's the first thing that the Shulchan Aruch teaches in Simin Reish Dalet, Sif Aleph. The last thing that the Shulchan Aruch mentions in Simin Reish Dalet, Sif Yud Gimel, is anything that you are misupak, anything that you are in doubt about what the bracha is, then you should make a shahakol. So if you have a particular food item that is curious to you, you've never eaten before, you don't know what it is, the Shulchan Aruch says that you will make a bracha of shahakol. However, there are two caveats regarding that rule. That's not to be taken lechatchila. I mean, it doesn't mean that a priori one should just say, I don't know the bracha and I'll make a shahakol. This only works b'di'evit. That's what Mishnah Berurah says, quoting other achronim, the b'di'evit yotzei b'shahakol, that only in the ex post facto situation, when you do not know the bracha, then the shahakol will work. But lechatchila, a person should find out and learn what the brachas are. Shulchan Aruch says somebody that didn't study brachas and doesn't know what the brachas are, quotes from Arizal, that's considered to be a boor. That's considered to be a unlearned, a kuf, somebody who has not studied, who is just going to recite a bracha of shahakol, but he could have learned, he could have known, he could have understood. That's what the person should have done. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah also points out that if it's possible to eat the item that you are not sure about within a meal, that means under the category of a hamotzi, and if you've eaten bread and now you could eat that item or those items which you're not sure about, so at that point, then you find yourself in the perfect situation because you no longer are misupak, you're no longer in doubt, you just don't know, but you've created a situation where that's not really, where it's a moot point, then the bracha will be fall under the category of hamotzi, and you'll be safe. So those are the two basic klalim. The first sif and the last sif in Simin Reish Dalet teach about the bracha of shahakol. I like to divide the bracha of shahakol into three categories. The first being water, liquids, juice, etc. The second category, fruits and vegetables. And the last category as other general areas of shahakol. It's the summer, it's a very hot day. We're all drinking lots of water. We're told to drink a lot of water. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Reish Dalet Sif Zayin that if you're drinking water in order to quench your thirst, you make the bracha of shahakol, and then following the bracha of shahakol, if you drink enough, you'll make the bracha of chronot bar nefashos. Now, the reason that the Shulchan Aruch says that you're only drinking in order to quench your thirst is because when it comes to other brachos, as soon as you get hana, as soon as I enjoy the item that I'm eating, so automatically you're going to make a bracha. You don't have to drink juice or wine, beer or soda in order to quench your thirst, because there's a taste in the particular liquid that you're drinking. When it comes to water, since the liquid of water does not have a particular taste, therefore the only way to effectively assign a bracha of shahakol is because you are getting some level of benefit, and the benefit in this particular situation is the fact that you're no longer thirsty, you've quenched your thirst, and therefore you will make the bracha of shahakol. Now, the Shulchan Aruch follows, piggybacking out in the Simen, Zayin, Sifches, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you're drinking water because you have a sore throat or because something got stuck in your mouth, at that point you do not make a shahakol. Now, the reason for that is you're not getting any enjoyment from the actual liquid. You're only drinking it in order to take care of an issue. Now, if you have a cough or sore throat or something got stuck in your mouth, and you need to drink a liquid, and the liquid is going to be a soda or a juice or a beer or a wine where there is a natural flavor in the liquid itself, then absolutely, positively, you will make the shahakol. Specifically, when it comes to water, if you're only drinking it for the purpose to rid another issue or another problem, you will not make a shahakol. Therefore, many achronim use this halacha to deal with a very common and practical situation. If you're drinking water in order to swallow a pill, medication, So then the poskim say that you will not make the bracha of shakol because you're not doing it to quench your thirst. It doesn't fall under the category of that which you make a bracha of shakol mi advaro, because you're not drinking it with tsumeo. You're not drinking it in order to quench your thirst. You're just drinking it to allow the liquid to help with that which what you're drinking. But following this rule and concept, if you're drinking a juice, a tea, a coffee, a beer, a wine, a soda, or a juice in order to swallow a pill, then automatically you will recite a bracha because your chech is nena, there is anas garon, your throat is gaining, is enjoying the flavor, the taste of the drink that you're having, and therefore you will make a shakol mi advaro. Another common question that arises when it comes to the bracha of shakol is when I'm going to be drinking throughout the course of the day. Some are supposed to be drinking throughout the course of the day, or you're on a hike, on a tiul, or you're taking a long trip, you're driving to New York, and you're going to drink in the beginning, you're going to drink in the middle, and you're going to drink at the end. So how many shahakals do I have to make? Do I have to make a shahakal every time I take a sip of water, every hour, every 2 hours? What's the rule? So the halacha is that if you're making a bracha of shahakal and you're in the same place, and you can continue drinking throughout that time, all you need is one shahakal. So certainly if you're in the car and you're driving for a significant extended period of time, you're driving all night, and you're in the car, so you're going to make one shahakal, and that covers your shahakal. Same thing is true if you're hiking. Although you're not staying in the same specific spot as opposed to the car, although the car is moving, I'm in the same place, but if I'm taking a 10-mile hike and I'm stopping along the way to drink, so again, I will not have to make a shahakal. Now, that's true if it's the same water that I brought with me, or I am sure that there is going to be water along the way. If I have to stop after 5 miles and run into a store and to buy a new bottle of water, then I'll have to make a new shahakal. The same thing is true if you're in the car and you're getting out of the car to a rest stop and you have a shinui makom and you're going to purchase a bottle of water, you're going to purchase a drink, and then you're going to get back into the car again, so you're going to have to make a new shahakal when you get back into the car because there's a hefsek, there's a shinui makom, a change of place will require a new bracha of shahakal. But if you're in the same place, you're traveling on the same route, or if you're headed on a particular path, you will continuously only rely on that one shahakal that you made at the beginning of the day because it's expected and you continue to drink. Same thing is true if you're in your office and from 9 to 5 you're drinking water. So until the time that you leave your office or you go out and you come back in and there's a shinui makom, you'll continuously make that same shahakal. So if you know that you're going to be in your office from 9 to 1 and you're drinking one cup of water, 10 cups of water, 3 or 4 bottles of water, all you need is one shahakal until the moment that you walk out of the office building or you walk into the corridor where you'll be required to make a new bracha. That is when it comes to the bracha of shahakal on water. That's when it comes to the bracha of shahakal on liquids. The other aspect that's related is, as well, we're in the summer, many people are eating ices and are you have, let's say, grape ices. So what bracha will you make on your grape popsicle? So it's grape and it came from grapes, so maybe the bracha is bar pregasa. But the contemporary post can point out that the bracha on a grape popsicle is going to be a shahakal. The reason for that is that the ices, from the time that it's transformed into a solid, the wine and the grape loses its status of a bar pregasen at the point that it's transformed into a solid. Therefore, your grape popsicle, you're going to make a shahakal. Now, mind you, on your ices and your ices, that you're both going to make a shahakal as the bracha rishona, when it comes to the bracha achrona, the after bracha, it's not so simple that you're going to make a bar nefashos because you have to eat enough toch kedei shiravias within a specific span of time, or kedei achilas pras, which is somewhere within, up until, including 8 minutes to 10 minutes. So if you're eating the ices very, very slowly, you're just licking the ices, or you're biting and you're getting very little amount, you're not drinking specifically, you will not recite a bar nefashos after the popsicle or after the ice cream or the ices that you are eating. That all covers the first area of the shahakal, vis-a-vis liquids, water, juice, etc. The second area that I like to talk about when it comes to the bracha of shahakal is fruits and vegetables. Now, fruits and vegetables, as you are all aware, fruit is the bracha bar pre'etz, it comes from a tree. The vegetable is the bar pre'etz, it comes from the ground. But nonetheless, you will see that there are about 8 or 9 examples where even a fruit and a vegetable at times will be a shahakal, and it's more common than we think. Now, yes, a classic apple, pear, banana, tomato, potato is always going to either be an eitz or an adama, depending if it's from a tree or it's from the ground. However, you're only going to make that bracha on the fruit and vegetables normally eaten the way it's meant to be eaten. So therefore, if you take a potato, you're going to make an adama, because typically a potato is eaten cooked. However, if you're eating a raw potato, which none of us do, and thankfully we don't have to do that, you all will make a shakel. So therefore, on anything that's not eaten in the typical way that it's going to be eaten, you will make a shakel. If you take a cooked apple, for example, which is a pretty popular food to eat, so there, since it's commonly eaten as a bar pre'etz, you will make a bar pre'etz, not significantly different enough. And since it's commonly eaten as well in that form, you will still make a bar pre'etz. An onion, for example, is a shakel. The reason that an onion is a shakel is that typically, classically, an onion is something that's cooked. An onion is something that's baked. Rarely do we eat onions raw, although it is becoming more popular to eat onions in a fresh salad. Nonetheless, the bracha on onions is shakel. The same thing is true when it comes to a lemon. Now, a lemon is very, very sour. It's very tart. If the lemon is so tart and so sour, then you're not going to make any bracha because it's so repugnant and it's not something that we ordinarily eat in that fashion, then you will not make a bracha of lemon. So if you're biting into a lemon for whatever reason, that will not make a shakel. If the lemon is somewhat bitter, at that point, you're not going to make a bracha bar pre'etz. At that point, you're going to make a shahakel. Since the lemon is awkward, it's not meant to be eaten in that fashion. The lemons are typically cooked, baked, and are not eaten raw. So if it's somewhat of a bitter lemon, you will make, again, the bracha of shahakel. Another example of a vegetable you'll make a shahakel on is a mushroom. A mushroom, the Gemara explains, since its sustenance does not come from the earth, therefore, it will receive the bracha of a shakel, although it does grow from the ground. Again, a mushroom will be a bracha of shakel. Another aspect of the fruits and vegetables, which is today becoming more important and popular, is hydroponics. We have plenty of fruits and vegetables that are being grown not in the ground and not on trees, but actually on the water. In Israel, it's becoming more and more popular. Hydroponics, since the food does not get its sustenance from the ground, but rather from the water, similar to a mushroom, on all hydroponics, you're going to make a shakel. So hydroponically grown vegetables, lettuce, tomatoes, pears, peppers, and the like, typically is found more in vegetables than in fruits. The bracha to make on all hydroponics is going to be a shakel. Now, if you don't know if the fruit or vegetable that you're buying in your store is hydroponically grown or if it's grown from the ground or from a tree, you will make a bracha of ha'etz or adama. I think the rule of the majority still is that it's coming from the ground or from a tree, and therefore you'll make your classic bracha. But if you do know that something is being grown hydroponically, the bracha is going to be a shahakol niyad dervaro. Therefore, we've listed raw potatoes, onions, lemons, mushrooms, and hydroponics. All of those, although they're fruits and vegetables, nonetheless, the brachos on those items are all going to be shahakol, either because it's not the natural way that they're eaten, not the normal way that they're eaten, either from raw to cooked or cooked to raw, or it's not something that has a good taste, a sweet taste, and you will not make a bracha on it altogether. And certainly hydroponics, as mentioned, or anything else that does not receive its sustenance from the earth will also be a shahakol. Following in this area within the world of fruits and vegetables are three other examples. Take soups. Soups are made from a variety of fruits, vegetables. They have fruit soups, they have vegetable soups. So what bracha will you make on your vegetable soup or on your fruit soup? So it really depends. If we're talking about a pureed soup, you have zucchini soup that's been pureed to the end, and it's simply a liquid, so it'll be a shakel. If you have tomato soup that's been pureed extensively, it goes through the blender and it's ground, then you're going to make a shakel. The same thing is true, for example, when it comes to the popular today fruits and vegetable smoothies, or if you have your Ensure, or any substance, any liquid, like a protein shake, which people have, those all are going to be shahakol, based upon the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Beis, that anything that is completely ground or finely ground up, at that point it's going to be a shakel because you can no longer tell and recognize that it once came from a fruit or from a tree. However, something like orange juice that has the pulp inside of it will also receive a shakel, although there is still some pulp, and the pulp might argue that you'll make a bar pre'etz on the fact that you still see the pulp. Nonetheless, the bracha classically that's made on orange juice, even with pulp, is going to be a shakel. However, take any of those three examples, the pureed soups, the fruit and vegetable smoothies, the shakes, the orange juice, if it still has a significant amount of real bona fide fruits and vegetables that are still recognizable, at that point you will make a bar pri adama or a Bore Pir Eitz, depending upon the fruit or vegetable soup. So if you have a vegetable soup of potato, leek, an onion soup, and it's a thick soup, and the vegetables are clearly nicker, and it's obvious that what the vegetables are, then you'll make a Bore Pir Adama. The same thing is true when it comes to a smoothie, and it hasn't been ground that much, and there's huge strawberries or big pieces of orange or mango or raspberries and cherries or whatever it is, so then it is still a fruit. So the rule of thumb when it comes to the soups, the smoothies, and the fruit shakes and the other types of liquids that still do have some element of the fruit, the vegetable itself, will depend upon it, whether it's pureed, it's ground up completely, and therefore will receive the bracha of a shahakol, or it still has a significant amount of natural fresh fruit and vegetables in it, and at that point you'll make a Bore Pir Adama. That's the second category of shahakol. The third category of shahakol will be general, other types of foods that still receive a shahakol. They're not liquids, they're not drinks, water, they're not fruits and vegetables. Take, for example, gum. Gum is not something that you swallow, but gum does have a taste. The halacha is, and the klal is, the rule is, the beginning of parakeets and mevarchim, anything that you get hana from, anything that you get pleasure from or enjoy, if it goes into your mouth, requires a bracha. So therefore, even though you're not eating the gum, but because you're benefiting, you're swallowing, you're tasting, you're enjoying the flavor of the gum, you will make a shahakol on gum. Of course, it's not going to require a bar nefasha, similar to your ices or your ice cream that we discussed earlier, because you're not eating enough and you're not drinking enough in a significant amount of time. Therefore, you will not make a bar nefasha. What about raw cookie dough? Again, summer, people are having ice cream. You have cookie dough ice cream, or you're baking a cake before Shabbos, and the kids want to eat the dough or the cookie dough or the batter from the cake. Well, if it's only for taste, then you're tasting it simply to see if it's good or not. So, matemes ein mevarach, if you're only tasting something, you're not going to make a bracha. But raw cookie dough, many people eat. It's something that is a food to a certain extent. It might not be healthy, but people eat raw cookie dough. It comes in ice cream. It comes in other flavors or forms. That also is going to be a shahakol since it's not cooked yet. Only once it's cooked and baked, then the 5 grains will receive the bracha bar min mezonos. But if it's still raw, and if it's frozen or cold, you will only make a shahakol on raw cookie dough. What about Pringles? Pringles, a popular potato chip, that's actually a debate as to whether the bracha on Pringles is a Bore Pir Adama or a shahakol. The reason for the debate and the point of contention is, how is the Pringle made? Is it made of potato flour, or is it made of dried out potatoes? Well, if it's made out of potato flour, so potato flour is going to be a shahakol. If it's made out of dried potatoes, then the bracha is going to be a Bore Pir Adama. So it depends how the actual Pringle is made. It seems that the contemporary poskim in this country, the popular approach in America, to make the bracha on Pringles is a Bore Pir Adama. The poskim in Israel seem to indicate that the bracha on Pringles is a shahakol, and the Sefer Rezos HaBracha, Rabbi Mandelbaum, out of Eretz Yisrael, he paskins that the bracha is a shahakol because it's made out of potato flour. Two popular brachos farm, Rabbi Bodner and Rabbi Forrest, and their, each of their halachos farm on Hilchos brachos seem to indicate that the bracha will be hadama, but again, it depends how they are made. A similar question is what bracha to make on a falafel bowl. Now, if you're eating falafel and you're having it in a piece of bread, then it's obvious you make a hamotzi. But what about the falafel bowl itself? So again, similar to the Pringles, it depends how and what is done to the chickpeas. If the chickpeas are ground finely, and it's not obvious or nicker in the falafel bowl that it's coming from a chickpea, so similar to your pureed soup or your smoothie, you'll make a shahakol. If, however, the falafel bowl still has remnants and elements and it's nicker, that if there's chickpeas or pieces of chickpeas, you will make the bracha of Bore Pir Adama. Pringles and falafel bowls, again, will depend on the way it looks and how it is. So to summarize, there are 3 areas of the bracha of shahakol, again, sourced in Siman Reish Dal and Shulchan Aruch. There's the water, the liquid, the juices that receive a shahakol. There's the second element of the bracha of shahakol, which is fruits and vegetables, which are anomalies where you're not going to make a ha'etz or adama. And the third category is the other, the raw cookie dough, the gum, the Pringles, and the falafel bowl. That is another area of shahakol to be discussed. I'd like to take a moment to consider the bracha that we make, shahakol mi'a bedvaro. And if you take a closer look at the bracha, you'll note that it's fundamentally and categorically different than the other brachos that we make. Take, for example, Borei Mine Mezonos, Borei Pri HaAdama, and Borei Pri HaEtz. the bracha there indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a borei, that God is borei min hamizonos. God created sustenance from the mizonos, from the ground, from the things that we're eating, the five grains. Borei pri ha'adamah, that God created things that grow from the ground. Borei pri ha'etz, that God is a creator. In each of the birchas hanenet, in the pre-bracha, we say borei, that God is a creator. However, shehakol nihya bedvaro, we don't say borei nihya bedvaro. We don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that which we are drinking. So why is it when it comes to mizonos, adam and eitz, the bracha is borei, and Hashem is a creator, as opposed to the shehakol, where we say nothing about being Hashem being a borei. Furthermore, two other diukim, two other points in the bracha of shehakol nihya bedvaro that we need to understand. Why are we saying bidvaro, that it's with God's word? We don't say that when it comes to the other brachos, not borei min hamizonos, not borei pri adama, not borei pri ha'etz. What does the bracha of shehakol have to do with God's word specifically? Diburo, bidvaro. Furthermore, nihiyeh. What's the essence of nihiyeh, that God is creating with his word? We don't say nihiyeh min hamizonos, borei nihiyeh adama, but we don't use those two words, nihiyeh and bidvaro. Let's try to understand a little bit about the unique nature of the bracha of shehakol. Nihiya bidvaro. Why is there no borei? Why is it specific with Hashem's word? And why the word nihiya? These questions are addressed by two halachic sources that I'm aware of, and Rav David Avudraham, one of the great Rishonim, in Shar Gimel, asks this question, as does the Yochanan Boaz, the classic commentary on Mishnayos and Parakeh Tzimvarach, and the sixth parak also asks this question, and each of them give two independent answers. The Avudraham says that the bracha of shehakol nihya bedvaro does not say borei, because here Hashem didn't make these things. When it comes to borei pri ha'adama, borei pri ha'etz, God made the things that are on the tree. God made the things that are on the ground. God created the five grains. But these items that we've just been discussing, God didn't make them. They are coming from, yes, Hashem, of course, but it's not coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod v'atzmo. Water, for example, Hashem didn't create water. It says in the Psukim, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, that Hashem gathered the water. The water came together. But not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was borei mayim. Hashem didn't create water. The water was gathered from a different place. Similarly, when it comes to the fruits and vegetables that we're talking about, Hashem created an onion to be eaten in a particular way. Baked, cooked. Hashem created a potato to be eaten in a particular way. We're using it in a different way. If it comes to a lemon that doesn't taste good, so I'm not saying Hashem didn't create it for that reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant it to be eaten a different way, and therefore the Avudraham understands that all the brachos of shehakol are similar in the respect that they're not being eaten in the classic way that they're supposed to be eaten, and therefore it doesn't say that Hashem was a borei, Hashem created those items. The Yochanan of Boaz, Mr. Lifshitz, says something similar to the Avudraham, and he points out that all of the brachos that we just discussed in the shehakol world are not being eaten the way they were meant to be eaten. Different than Avudraham. Avudraham says that when it comes to the shehakol, that's not Hashem's bria, that's not Hashem's creation. Hashem created mizonos, Hashem created adama, Hashem created eitz. So Hashem is not a borei when it comes to shehakol. However, the Yochanan Boaz points out a little bit differently, that when it comes to the shehakol, we're not eating it the way it was meant to be eaten. The gum, or the raw cookie dough, that's not the way you're meant to eat. That's not what you're supposed to do. That's not the classic way that it was meant to be created. The pureed soups, the fruit vegetable smoothies, all of those are changing the way that it was created. Therefore, it's not borei. Hashem didn't create it in that fashion. I've come up with a different way to eat or to drink this item, and therefore the bracha is shehakol. I think the essence of the bracha of shehakol, in terms of a deeper appreciation, teaches us a general lesson about life and a general lesson about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Brachos are sometimes obvious that Hashem gives us a bracha. It's sometimes obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and gives us what we need, and things are great, and we say, Hashem, it's clear to me you're a borei. You've created, you've helped me, you've guided me, you've put me along a certain path. However, sometimes it's not so obvious when Hashem sends a bracha or sends something particularly that's really a HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. And sometimes we see a divide or a divorce or a separation between Tov v'Ra and different things and different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. The bracha of shehakol is telling me that even though I don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a borei, even though I don't see Hashem talking to me, building, creating, and giving me sustenance in a direct way, nonetheless, I still make a bracha. And I'm still mevarech at Hashem, even though I don't see Hashem being borei pri Adam, I don't see Hashem being borei pri Eitz, I don't see Hashem being borei mi mizono. Similar to the two types of brachas that we have, we make on a good thing, like the Gemara says, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does tov, or gives us good, we make a bracha shechianu, a tov ametiv, ala ra, we make the bracha dayana emes. We make brachos on all aspects of good and on bad. And it's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker yom echad. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu created day, also created night. It's yom echad. It's the same borei olam. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bracha of Shehakol is hinting that sometimes I don't see that Hashem being a borei, creating, and being obvious. Even though I change particular things, and things don't look the way that they're supposed to be. And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do something in a particular way, and maybe I forced things to be pushed in a different fashion. Nonetheless, I still make a bracha, and I still recognize Hashem. So in all aspects of life, when it comes to brachos, when it comes to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, or when it comes to the different things that we see or read or notice, we always have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs our life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach Aleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us, guides us, looks after us, and He has Hashgacha Pratis, looking after every individual, every family, every community, every single Jew collectively, and every single Jew as independently. And even though things don't look the way we want them to look, we still have to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still have to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though Hashem is not necessarily shining the sun bright the way we might want to, but nonetheless, it's nihiyah bidvaro. It's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. And therefore, it's not borei, but shakol nihiyah bidvaro, because everything comes from Hashem's mouth. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lips. And therefore, in this bracha, we focus that it's bidvaro. It's with your word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though when you're not a borei, even though you're not created, even though I don't see you clearly the way I see an apple growing from a tree, or a tomato growing from the ground, or the grains growing, and they're coming together, and therefore make a bar mitzvah mizonos. But I know you, Hashem, and I know you're talking to me, and I know we have a relationship, and that's your word. Nihiyah, Hashem, you're always here, you're always with us, even though I don't see you, and always I can't find you. We wish, and we hope, we pray, and we daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the zman, the time that we're in, me'evil yom tov, a time of destruction and calamities, to a time of simcha, we should share together, the binyan beis hamikdash. Amen.